This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine conflict. After the two presidents speak, Mr. Putin in Moscow, Mr. Biden in Warsaw, and what is to be done? Dan Henniger, who writes Wonderland, deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, is here to take us to Congress because there is a moment in his new column about the war and afterwards, about fatigue. And the question is, who's tired and who's looking to win the tired to his or her side? Dan, you mentioned that the young and extremely attractive governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, has said in some fashion he does not endorse a blank check policy towards Ukraine. How do you interpret this, and is this isolationism? Good evening to you, Dan.
Hi there, John. Well, that's true that DeSantis did say that Monday when Biden was actually in Kyiv itself, meeting with Vladimir Zelensky. He went on to say, DeSantis did, that we have a lot of problems accumulating here in our own country, unquote, that Mr. Biden is neglecting. And that's become something of a trope that Biden is spending time in Ukraine and Poland while neglecting the United States. That's kind of a characterization that concerns me. These are separate spheres, I think, altogether. You know, the things Biden, Republicans usually accuse him of neglecting is the southern border, which he has. But the southern border or even the train derailment in East Palestine is not really comparable to what's going on in Ukraine. These are just two different areas of U.S. and presidential responsibility. It nonetheless is beginning to feed into our domestic political politics, the question of whether support for Ukraine should be sustained or not. And there's a very small minority in Congress that wants to pull back. And I think in some sense, they're responding to opinion polls, which show a softening, and I wouldn't put a stronger word than softening, for support of Ukraine, especially among Republicans. But let's just talk about this in completely bloodless political terms, John. Governor DeSantis may have just been doing nothing more than competing with Donald Trump for that piece of the Trump base that is indeed turning isolationist. He's already pulled across some part of the Trump base, obviously, based on how well he's polling against Mr. Trump. And maybe he's just trying to close that deal with Trump's base. He's a politician. He's probably going to run for president. That's what politicians do when they're running for president. They do what they got to do. But the opinion polls on Ukraine, there is still very strong support, stronger than majority support for seeing this through with the Ukrainians. And I think when you add the opposition numbers up, it doesn't come to much more than 20 or 25%. Now, that means that possibly in a Republican primary fight that you could assemble enough isolationist or anti-Ukrainian sentiment to win maybe some of those primaries. But I think the reality, John, is that in a general presidential election in 2024, defunding Ukraine, as Josh Hawley suggested in a speech to the Heritage Foundation last week, pulling away completely from Ukraine, letting Putin prevail in a general presidential election, I do not think that's a winner at all. So what we're seeing here at the moment is some jockeying for position over Republican sentiment, which indeed can change over time.
The Chinese bring forth a peace plan within these hours. I believe the United States has shrugged or some stronger dismissal of the plan. However, this speaks to the larger story of the question of who's in it for the win. Mr. Biden says he is. NATO endorses the position again and again, and many, many members of the EU at the Munich conference endorse the same thing. Is there a hidden hesitation crowd somewhere, Dan, underneath all of these strong-minded remarks, not just here in the United States, but around the world?
Well, here in the United States is to me the most interesting. There is around the world. President Macron in France and Scholz in Germany are beginning to worry about whether their publics can sustain support for what's going on in Ukraine. They're even just raising the question of just how destroyed Ukraine has to become to prevail in this battle. But here in the United States, I think a couple of things are going on. You know, I think there's something to the point that President Biden has gone to Poland to make this stirring, strong speech on behalf of Ukraine, but is, quote unquote, neglecting some issues at home. Well, you know what? One of the issues at home that he's neglecting, John, is Ukraine and China, which is to say, if we're going to make the kind of commitment suggested by that speech in Poland this week, the president has to prepare the American people for it, and he has to do so directly, and whether it's Russia or China. And he simply has not done that. And in the absence of doing that, you know, the American people have to get on with their lives. And the reality is they look at what's going on with Ukraine. They see the hundreds of billions of dollars being spent. And as I've argued before, this is in a context of inflation and a reality that over the last several years, trillions upon trillions of dollars have been spent by the federal treasury here, for better or worse. We broke through a debt ceiling of $31 trillion. And as you well know, John, in these war situations, the fact is Ukraine, in some sense, for Americans, is a faraway place, just as earthquakes in Turkey eventually become a faraway place. And it requires leadership to try to convince a public the importance of something like that. And I'll just quickly mention Winston Churchill, right, 4 years before he came to power, warned what Hitler was doing in Europe. And the fact is, many Brits at that time simply shrugged until Churchill had the opportunity and events proved that he was right. And we should not have to wait here in the United States to let events put in motion by Russia or China to prove these warnings right. The president should be preparing people now to do what's necessary.
You mentioned China, Dan. Do we need clarity from the president? Is China an adversary? I can't say yes or no on any given day.
Yeah, I think it pretty clearly is an adversary, as Christopher Wray, the FBI director, said recently in a speech before the Reagan Library. The FBI opens an investigation into Chinese espionage in the United States about every 12 hours. Hard to get your head around a statement like that. But they are stealing staggering amounts of information from the United States. And Xi Jinping has it in his head that China needs to be somehow restored to a glory that was stolen from it more than a century or so ago. And the military buildup by China suggests he's serious about it. And not deterring those kinds of impulses in grandiose foreign leaders like Xi Jinping, history proves it can be utterly, almost indescribably destructive if we don't resist. That does not mean we are announcing a war with China, but it does mean we have to do what is required to build up sufficient deterrence in the Pacific and in our military capability. And that's a big question, John, whether Joe Biden, as a Democratic president with a lot of federal money that he wants to spend on domestic issues, the climate and the rest of it, does he have the will to argue to the American people and indeed his own party that we should be spending more money on our own defense?
Daniel Henniger, deputy editor of the editorial page of The Wall Street Journal, he writes the Wonderland column asking questions about the Republican Party and Ukraine and about Washington, the president, and Ukraine. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.